your heart and just to still come this morning. Awesome, man. And yeah, I'm going to hand over to Len. What a privilege to witness him serve us and serve the Lord this past week. What a great joy. And there you go, Om.
Thank you, Timba. Good morning, everyone. So good to be with you in a colder than usual Bloemfontein. I'm still not used to it after all these years. So yeah, getting older, getting colder. But what a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord this morning. And before we end that, I still need someone to come and pray for me because I've got resistance this morning in myself, in my body. So my left ear is closed up completely and I'm off balance. My sinuses feels like it is blocked. So is there someone that will come and pray for me that feels he's got, yeah, come and do it. Thank you. And you guys, please agree with him, all right?
Ach Lord, I just pray for complete healing over Len's body. I pray that this blockage in his ear will be removed now, Lord. I pray that you'll give him his balance back and that you'll fill him, fill his heart with your spirit. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. So we've had a wonderful time in Bloemfontein this week. We've seen quite a few people having coffees and lunches and everything. It was so nice. And thank you for, although it's cold outside, you guys are warm and friendly. And it's wonderful to be in the Free State. And there's no place like the Free State. I always tell the people I'm from the States. The Free States. Yeah, so wonderful to be here. But I'm longing to get back home. So just after the service, we will start to move back, see how far we get, and then maybe get to our home next morning. Or we'll see how soon we get there. Yeah, so this morning I want to actually build on last week's preach where we preached on Jesus is enough. But this morning I want to share a bit on closer to God, getting closer to God. So we are going to try to answer these questions for ourselves this morning. Does God feel distant from you or far away? How close are you really to God? And how come will God only draw near to me when I draw near to him first? That's what he says in his word. And what does it mean to be close to God? And do we need to come continually closer? What happens to me when I get closer and closer? Can I draw closer to God for the wrong reasons? There are so many questions regarding getting closer to God. Wonderful questions. And the invitation this morning is that it's time to get closer to God. Amen? Do you feel that in your heart as well? Maybe you have not thought about it as this much. But I believe that for us as God's children, we are on a journey in life to get closer and closer to God. It's not just a once-off thing. It's a journey, getting closer and closer, a continual process of getting closer and closer. We will never reach a point where we are too close. We are on an indefinite trajectory. The more we desire to come closer to God, the closer we get. Amen. Wonderful. Did we not come close to God when we were saved by His grace? Yes, we did come close to Him. But do we still need to come closer? Yes. So let's start with 1 Peter 2, 4, verse 5 in Scripture. Coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Before we go on, just go back, please. Coming to Him, what actually it means, coming continually to Him. Soos jy kom. Is nie net jy het eenmaal gekom nie, but coming continually. Rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. He wrote this to believers, not to unsaved people. Coming to Jesus. Why? Because He is the chief cornerstone and the life-giving stone. By throwing ourselves on the rock Jesus, we receive life. Daily, continually. It's a process coming to Jesus. We need to come to Him and stay close to Him. He is the source of life continually. And so we become living stones, not by being busy bodies. That's not what it means. He is the source of life. He's the cornerstone. Coming to Him means when we come to Jesus, we receive life. That's why we need to come to Him. He's the living stone Himself. Before you can become a living stone, you need to get to Jesus. You need to go to Jesus. You need to be close to Him. It's not talking about busy bodies or doing ministry or whatever, but receiving the source of life from Jesus Himself. You can be a busybody in church, serving faithfully, come to meetings faithfully, but it is possible that you are not in union or that we are not in union and close to God. It is possible. So I'd like to invite my wife to come and stand with me. This is my wife, Hetty. Not Letty, Hetty. Okay. And so next year, by God's grace, we will be married 50 years. And we're getting older. If you're married 50 years, you know that you're getting older. But I want to, just for a short moment, maybe just expose ourselves a little bit. So I think most of you will think that after 50 years, you should know each other very well. And in a sense, we do, but you're not allowed to say anything now. You must help me, not go against me. So what? Actually, the truth is, you can live together for 50 years. Live together. Married together for 50 years. And still not being very close to one another. It's possible. It's possible. That is not a formula. Time is not a formula. But the willingness to be close to one another, that's the formula. That's the key. So especially when you're getting older, because age do bring with it some challenges. So it's not like it's going to happen automatically that we actually are very close to one another. It actually means that we need to, it's not like we need to work on it hard, but we need to realize when you're getting older and older, sometimes you are busier maybe in your life. What can happen is that you create your own world in your mind and in your emotions and your passions and your hobbies and whatever. And if you're not careful, then actually you just live in one house, that's all, for peace sake, for the kids' sake. So we realize that completely, and what we do is actually to get connected emotionally, make sure that everything changes when you get older. The physical intimacy changes, but the emotional intimacy changes as well. We need to get closer to one another. We need to spend time in discussing one another. So how do you feel about this? Tell me, what are you thinking? That's closeness, you know. Why are you saying that? What are you going through in your life? You know, you look at your wife, you think you know what she's going through, but when did you last ask her? So tell me, how's it going with your emotions? In touch with your emotions? You really, what can I help you with? What can I pray for you? Does it make sense? So, listen, just encouragement from my side, or maybe a warning. This is not about marriages. We're talking about closeness to God. So, you see, that's what I still want to emphasize. Donkey. I still want to emphasize it. Being busy in ministry, being busy in church. I mean, I'm into ministry for many, many years. Many years. But that does not equal closeness to God. Because when I get to God in heaven, I remember the scripture that God said to those who came to Him and said, Lord, in Your name we did what? In your name, we see people getting saved. We prayed for the sick. They were healed. We actually drove out the demons, and even the dead rose. And he said to them, go away from me, you evildoers. I don't even know you. You see, the most important thing that God wants is that you are very close to him and that you love him. That is the most important thing. That you know that you know that you I am close to God. Coming to him as the living stone frequently. Coming to him does not mean getting up in the morning 6 to 7. I mean, we need that. We need the Bible. We need prayer. We need to get to go to Jesus. We need to separate ourselves. We need to receive from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit. But closeness is something else. Closeness is a friendship. Closeness is intimacy, emotional intimacy. And that's a key for relationship with God. You have to know this. God is not into performance. He's not a religious being. He is not a religious being. The people that Jesus had the most trouble with when he was on earth was the Romans. No, it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The church people, they couldn't see him. They were full of scripture and full of law and full of righteousness, so they thought. But they missed him completely. So I want to encourage you this morning. It's wonderful to be part of a healthy church. And we know God gave Josh Jean that vision and that mandate to make sure, by his grace on Andrew, that we build healthy churches. And building healthy churches is nothing else than building the presence of God. That's what it is. If his presence is in everything that we do in the communities, in our lives, then we'll see healthy churches. It's not a formula. It's not a recipe. It's the presence of the Lord. It's how much we as a body, how much we as an individual, how much do we love God and trust him and know his voice. Amen? So that's what it is. You need to get close to God. That's my desire. I don't know how many years I still have left before I die. But of one thing I want to make sure. Before I die, and maybe that's today, no one knows. I want to be as close as I can to God to make sure there's no distance between me and God. There's nothing hidden in my life. I want to be open before him. And I want to urge you this morning. Yeah, wonderful to live in this life that we live in and have this experience of healthy church. But absolutely make sure that you as an individual, you are very close to God. If every one of us in this church, when we are close to God, this church as a whole, as a body, will be close to God. Amen? So, are you okay with me? Yeah. Where am I? Why do we want to get close to God? Well, I think we said that now. We just focused on this. The foundation of these thoughts this morning is the calling we all have as children of God. We are all children of God. That is our first and major calling. There's nothing more to it. There's nothing, I mean, there are many other stuff more to it, but the major calling is that we need to get close to God. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Fellowship is two fellows on one ship. Two fellows on one ship. That's fellowship. Just you and the Lord. And 1 John 1:3 says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship. To be in union. Communion or fellowship with God actually means to come continually to him with a desire to be in union with him. That's what it is. Communion or fellowship. Come continually to God with a desire to be in union with the Lord. Len, are you in union with the Lord this morning? Is jy in eenheid met die Here? In gedagtes, in gees, in woord, in jou hele mens wees? Are you in union with the Lord? Jesus prayed in John 17:3. Himself, he prayed for us as his disciples. And this is eternal life. that we will go to heaven. No, that they may know you. You see, it starts here on earth when we're here. Eternal life starts the day that you give your heart to the Lord, the day that you surrender and you receive Him as your Savior. From that moment, eternal life starts, and it will never end. And Jesus explained it, that they may know you. Know is more than just knowing of, but know by personal experience. Know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Can I draw closer to God for the wrong reasons? Can I try to draw closer to God for the wrong reasons? Yeah, absolutely. Listen to this. Drawing closer to gain something from God, which we think will profit us more than God Himself, is the wrong reason. Can I read it again? Drawing closer to gain something from God, which we think will profit us more than God Himself, is the wrong reason. Money, prosperity, blessings, happiness, anything we esteem more valuable than having Jesus Himself and following Him is the wrong reason. That's why a prosperity gospel that we hear so much lately is a false gospel. Because we need Jesus more than... You can be a poor person in material things, but you can have all the joy and the intimacy with the Lord. It's not about material things. He wants to bless us. He wants to heal us. He wants to deliver us. But if you want that more than Jesus, there's a problem. That's the gospel. That's how it works. Amen. To know Him and to become more like Him should be our desire. So, coming closer to God is not a thing of just serving and being faithful in church, or how faithful you are in reading your Bible or have a quiet time, but it's a desire that you have in your heart to live in union more and more every day with Jesus, becoming more and more in His likeness. It is a heart posture. What happens to us when we really desire? What happens to us when we really desire and are seeking closeness and intimacy with God? We become like Him. Spending time with God becomes an experience where you're actually looking for anything in your life to lay down so that you can come closer to Him. It is when we make every effort to come closer. So the focus this morning is to come closer. Can you share that video of Francis Chan, please?
The problem, too many people come into a room passively and they're like, "Pastor, do something to me. I'm dry. Worship team, make me feel something." And then they walk out of the room going, "It didn't do it for me." You guys, this is not a passive faith. People say, "Well, how come I don't feel close to God?" You're probably not making every effort to. Something A.W. Tozer said, "Every man's as close to God as he wants to be." I'm not close to Him right now because you don't want to be. If you want it bad enough, you got to make every effort.
Can you please show it again, please?
This is the problem. Too many people come into a room passively and they're like, "Pastor, do something to me. I'm dry. Worship team, make me feel something." And then they walk out of the room going, "It didn't do it for me." You guys, this is not a passive faith. People say, "Well, how come I don't feel close to God?" You're probably not making every effort to. Something A.W. Tozer said, "Every man's as close to God as he wants to be." I'm not close to Him right now because you don't want to be. If you want it bad enough, you got to make every effort.
You see, listening to this, I remember there was a time when I met this girl. Many, many moons ago. And then, amen, I made every effort to get close to her. Even so that my dad was watching me. He said, "You spend too much time at that place or at Daddy's place." So I made every effort to get to know her better. Because why? I desired so much in my heart. I just knew this is my wife before we even got married. And I spent so much time with her as I could. It should be the same in our relationship with the Lord. It should be the same. I mean, there should be a desire. I cannot put a law in front of you this morning and tell you, listen, this is what the Lord says. You need to come close. And then you just obey what I'm saying this morning. Then there's something wrong. It should be there's something happening in your heart, because the greatest law, the biggest and the most important law, Jesus himself said that you should love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. That's the biggest law. So, why I'm sharing this with you this morning, because I know what challenge I had in my life. I was asking the Lord so many times, Lord, help me to love you more. Please, Lord, help me to love you more. I have to grasp this thing with my heart. And I'm still on this journey. I haven't arrived yet. I love the Lord, but I know there's more, and I can even get closer to him. I think, in a sense, sometimes or someday, we will get so close to the Lord that everything in the light of that will just fade away. All you have when you wake up and all that you have when you go to sleep in the evening is your intimacy with the Lord. It's almost like that, but that was heaven. That's how heaven will be one day. You will be so focused, so in contact, so in connection with the Lord and with the Spirit. And now on earth, we have our challenges. We have our shortcomings. I understand that as well. But that's what heaven is that it will be taken away, and we'll have that freedom to know him so much better, to see him face to face, to be like him. That's what the word says. When we with him one day, we will be like him. Not like, we will not be God, but we will be like him in such a way that we will have intimacy in a way that we will never have expected. Does it make sense? So I believe this morning I just put something in your heart, the desire. That's what I actually want to do, is because I have this desire. I want to put something in your heart this morning that when you go from this place, that you will have a desire to come closer to God. That actually it should be your life's motto. Is that the right thing to say? That actually it never stops. It should be everything that when you wake up in the morning, you ask the Lord, Lord, in this day, wherever I go, maybe you, what business you have, wherever you travel in this world, help me to get closer. Because it's not in proximity, it's in your heart. It's not going to church, it's in your heart. You need church. As we come together, yes, as a healthy church, we even get closer to God as well. But you need this desire in your heart to come close to him. If you wake up with that, then it's not a slip to go and have a quiet time, because it's time to meet with the Lord. Then maybe that morning you will put down your Bible, you put down your dagstukkie or whatever, you will put down whatever book you read, and you will only meet with him. Maybe you need it. Maybe you need it. Maybe there's too many substitutes for the real intimacy with the Lord. And I practice it. I know what I'm saying. Sometimes I'm on this thing, I want to go through a book or a teaching, and I want to receive more of that, and that can become something that will hinder me to experience the presence of the Lord. And what I do is just put it aside, put on worship music, and just sit in the presence of the Lord. Not even my prayers is good enough. Not even. But just speaking to the Lord. Not praying and not interceding, not working, not ministry, but relating to him and hearing from him, listening. Because can I tell you this morning, the times that I hear God the best is when I'm not prepared for it. Is when I'm just sit and wait, and all of a sudden he will begin to speak to me. Or when I'm not into focusing on something else. Does it make sense? Come on, that's real Christianity. That's Christianity. If it's not your treasure this morning, you need to take hold of it. You need to take it back. It's not works. It's not performance. It's not trying to impress other people, trying to impress the Lord with a good life. Nothing that I've did or nothing that I've not done can get me closer to him. only by the blood of Jesus. Amen. So I want you to listen to this piece. So forgive me for me as Afrikaans speaking guy, this is not so easy to understand the English. From 1798 to 1870, this guy lived. Albert Barnes was his name. And he wrote this. So I asked the AV to put it up there so that you can read it with me. Coming closer to God is the act of the soul by which I, with all my weakness and sin, cast myself on Jesus Christ and grapple. I had to find out what that means, which means to wrestle and to not let go like Jacob wrestled with God, him to my heart, and grapple him to my heart, and bind myself with his strength and righteousness. It is the movement towards Christ of the whole spiritual nature of man. My thoughts, my loves, my wishes, my purposes, my desires, my hopes, and my will. The movement towards God with the whole spiritual nature of man. And we come near to him when day by day we realize his nearness to us. When our thoughts are often occupied with him, bring his peace and himself to bear as a motive upon our conduct. Let our love reach out its tendrils towards and grasp and twine around him. Bow our wills to his commandment and in everything obey him. The distance between heaven and earth does part us, but the distance between a thoughtless mind and an unrenewed heart and a rebellious will and him sets between him and us a greater gulf, and we have to bridge that by continually honest efforts to keep our wayward thoughts through him and near him, and to regulate our affections that they may not, like runaway stars, carry us far from the path, and to bow our stubborn and self-regulating wills beneath his supreme commandment, and so to make all things a means of coming nearer to the Lord, with whom is our true home. Shoo! My tongue voel nou net so dik. Dis ou Engels hierdie, maar is mooi. Dis so mooi. En toe ek dit gaan vertaal in Afrikaans, om dit in my hart te kan kry. Om tot God te nader is 'n sielsaksie, waardeur ek, met al my swakhede en sonde, myself op Jesus Christus werp, en met al my kragte en vermoëns, en met my hele hart myself verbind aan sy krag en geregtigheid. Dis wanneer ek nader aan God probeer kom met my volle geestelike natuur, met my gedagtes, my liefde, my wense, my doel, begeertes, hoop en my wil. Ek kom ook nader aan hom wanneer ek dag na dag van sy nabyheid bewus is, wanneer my gedagtes meeste van die tyd op hom gerig is. Dis wanneer ek hom en die vrede wat hy bring so begeer dat dit elke optrede en besluit van my lewe beïnvloed. Dis wanneer die ranke van my liefde, dit is wat hy tendrils beteken, die ranke soos van 'n boontjie plant, van 'n rankplant, soekend na hom is en om hom groei, wanneer ek my wil en voorkeure neerlê vir sy opdragte en hom in alles gehoorsaam. Die afstand tussen hemel en die aarde bring versekerde skeiding tussen ons en hom, maar die afstand as gevolg van passiewe gedagtes, 'n onveranderde of harde hart, die rebelse wil en God skep 'n groter afstand of gaping tussen ons en hom. Om hierdie groot verwydering met God te oorbrug, het ons gedurig nodig om ons gedagtes wat so maklik afdwaal, getrou aan die waarheid en aan Jesus en naby aan hom te hou, en ook seker te maak dat die begeertes van my hart my nie laat afdwaal soos verskietende sterre nie en ons van die pad af laat dwaal nie. Ons het nodig om ons gehardnekkige wil, selfwil en selfbeheer aan sy oppergesag te onderwerp, sodat alles wat ek doen sal beteken dat ek nader aan die Here kom by wie my ware tuiste is. It's beautiful. That's what it means to get close to God. Is to throw myself on a rock. To reach out every day. That's your inheritance. Dis jou erfenis vanoggend. The day that you decided to follow Jesus, that what God gave you is the grace and the mercy to become in union with the Lord, God Almighty. It's just fantastic, man. God said, let us make people into our own image. Make people after our own image, after our own kind. We were made in the image of God. And what does that mean? Not physical image, but the fact that you have a spirit. Nothing else on this earth have a spirit except men, except human beings. So if you follow a teaching that says we come from apes, I'm so sorry to tell you that that's not true. Because the animal kingdom were not created with spirits, but we as human beings, we have a spirit, and we can have a union with the wonderful God. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's a beautiful piece that. So, we also come closer to God so that we don't get lost or drift away in this world that we live in. Many, many years ago, my eldest son is 48 years now. But when he was, I can't remember, 4 years, how old was he when we were in Durban? 4 or 5 years of age? Four. So we were in the Free State, we were farming, and then on holidays we went to Durban. We went to Durbs many, many years ago. And then we enjoyed the beach and the marine parade and the hotels and the swimming in the sea, the warm sea, and eating ice cream and popcorn and everything. That was holiday many years ago. And then on the beachfront, there was an amusement park. And who remember that amusement park in Durban? A few guys, yeah, because you're closer to Durbs than the Cape. So then what we did in the evening, we took the children and we went to the amusement park. And all the lights and sounds and music and people and food. And it's so wonderful. It was just beautiful and wonderful. So one evening we went, and like I said, our eldest son was 4 years of age. So he was walking with me. I was holding his hand. And Yeti was pushing the pram with our daughter inside. She was still very young, little. And amongst all those hundreds of people, and we were just coming from the farm, I mean, it's like looking at all these wonderful lights and playing games and carts that the little kids drove around or whatever, and hundreds of people and cars and noises. And in a flash of a moment, we lost our son. 4 years of age. And I asked Yeti, so his name is Desmond. Where's Desmond? I thought this was you. He's gone. And I mean, it was just so busy. So I said to her, listen, okay. And we looked around a bit. I said, listen, don't get panicked now. But we will find him. And we started looking around and even more and more running around, asking people if they haven't seen a little boy 4 years of age. And he was still gone, missing. And we got panic-stricken after a while. I mean, after half an hour, we were still looking for him. We couldn't find him. Ran to the beach, ran back, nothing there. I said, I'll go back on the way that we came, all the way. And I couldn't find him as well. Came back, and then on the last moment, there was a lot of stairs. When you get from the amusement park, then you get the stairs, and then you get the driveway where the cars are. And a lot of stairs, man. And I thought to myself, maybe he went up the stairs. But I mean, he was just 4 years of age. And I went up the stairs. I was sweating, man. And it really felt to me like my heart's going to stop now because I lost my kid. And when I get to the street up there, I found my boy on the edge of the street. Cars just coming, moving in front of him. And he was just watching the cars. He was just enjoying the cars. And I went stood next to him and I said, Desmond, I said, hello, Pa. And he was watching the cars. He didn't even realize he was lost. Took him by his hand, went back to Haiti. I found him. He didn't even realize he was lost. In this world that we live in, there are so many amusement parks. You will not even realize that you are lost. That you lost grip of God the Father holding you in his hand. So listen to this piece. 2 Peter 3:10-14. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise. This is going to happen. This is not poetry. This is prophetic. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the Lord? This is a preach. I'm starting to prepare on this preach. Looking and hastening. Looking with expectancy. Waiting for the Lord. Are you looking for the Lord? Or do you actually make the same mistake? Listen, the Lord knows when he will come. So I'm not really thinking of it. I'm just waiting for him. Actually, it's not what it says. Looking for. Is looking for means with this desire, expecting the Lord to come and hastening. So this is a wonderful preach. The more that we live in holiness and godliness and righteousness as a church, as a healthy church, we will actually hasten the coming of the Lord. It's actually as if the Lord is waiting for his church to become holy and without any blemish. And when he finds his church in such a way, he will come. That's the only formula that we can use to maybe, in a sense, determine when will Jesus come. He will come when we are living in godliness and holy conduct, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory both now and forever. My whole preach this morning is in these few scriptures. Be diligent to be found by him in peace and in relationship. Otherwise, you will get lost in the amusement of this world. You will get lost in the amusement of TikTok, Facebook. Let me tell you, the enemy is in the cell phone, but the Lord is also. But I believe that many more fall as a result of being connected to the world outside, but not being connected to God. I'm just preaching it this morning as I feel it. Is that all right? Yeah. So listen, the last thing God says in James 4:8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You see, God waits. He waits for me and you to draw near to him. Why does he wait? Because he doesn't want to put it on you as something of a law or a compulsory thing of the church or whatever. He wants your heart. He wants you to come close. The moment that you reach out to him, he will reach out to you. And the wonderful thing of the gospel is that he actually reached out to you before you reached out to him. But this thing of coming close to God is actually the way that I live every day in my relationship with the Lord. If I draw close to him, he will draw close to me. That's a promise. You will never be disappointed when you give your heart to the Lord and when you decided that you will get closer to him every day. You will never get disappointed. There was a man in the Old Testament. His name was Enoch. I don't have the scripture here. Enoch. But you know what? The word says he walked with God every day of his life. He walked with God. So you can only walk. Danny, come here. Stand there, so bright pillar, asseblief. So, if we are moving to a place, look at that side. Say, for instance, we are going to a place 5 kilometers from here, and he's walking that way and I'm walking this way. We're actually not walking with one another. He's walking on his own. Am I right? He's walking on his own and I'm walking on my own. We can't even hear when we're talking to each one another, but when we're close to one another and we're following the same direction, we're going to the same place, then we're walking with one another. Enoch walked with God. He was close to God. And I believe one day God said, you know what? You're so close, man. Let's go home. Because I think it's only two people in the Bible, I'm not so sure, only two people that actually didn't die, but went home with God, the Father. Man, maybe, just maybe, you and I can get so close that one day we disappear completely. maybe God will rapture me individually. Just maybe. He did it with Enoch. He took, what was it, Elijah? He took Elijah on a chariot. We've got drones nowadays. But you know what? The whole thing is, I need to have this desire to get so close to God that actually disappearing from this world will be heaven, man. Just disappearing. And Paul himself said, I long to be in heaven. And if I am to decide, I will go home now. But for your sake, I will stay here. Are you close to God? Do you want to get closer to God? Let's bow our heads. Can I invite you this morning? To get close to God, then you first and foremost have to make a decision in your life to receive Him as your Savior, as your King, as your Master,